And now Horn. Stewart wants it. And looks for Amakachi!
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And if you know your history, it's enough to make your heart go whoa.
Hello there and welcome back to the Grand Old Team podcast. I'm Adam Partington. Everton looked on course for a replay at Goodison Park on Friday night until keeper Jordan Pickford misjudged a corner, allowing Van Dijk to win the game for Liverpool. Gylfi Sigurdsson's smooth finish from the edge of the area put Everton level in the second half after Liverpool had taken the lead 10 minutes before half-time with James Milner scoring from the penalty spot following Mason Holgate's controversial tangle with Adam Lallana inside the box. And in the end, Everton were eliminated from the cup in the third round in a 2-1 defeat at Anfield. Everton manager Sam Allardyce told the BBC after, he said, "We gave everything we could today and in the end we were disappointed that we did not take them back to our place. It is a shame after all that effort. At the end of the day, we have given everything we could and we tried our very best." Some stats from the BBC. Everton were unbeaten in their first seven matches under Allardyce, won four, drew three, but they have lost their past three, scoring just two goals in their past five matches. All four of Sigurdsson's goals against Liverpool have been scored at Anfield, with two in the FA Cup now. The Reds have not lost a Merseyside derby, in which they have scored first since December 1992. This was the 24th meeting between these sides in the FA Cup, making it the most played fixture in the competition's history. And this one is the worst one. Liverpool are now unbeaten in 16 matches against Everton. They've won 8, drew 8. It's the longest ever unbeaten run against them. In fact, as I say that, I remember that it's not the worst one. The worst one is the fact that we've now not won at Anfield. It's going to be 20 years since we last won there, since Kev Campbell scored. So, yeah, not doesn't make the best reading from the BBC there for us Evertonians. As always, I'm joined by the ever present Dave the Rave Groucho from the forum. Grouch, happy Sunday. You all right?
Well, if you didn't have the Sunday Night Blues before you saw those stats up on the BBC website, you would have by the end of it, wouldn't you?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I did that. It was, I was pulling them out and I was thinking, are there any good ones? Oh, wait. No good ones.
No, this is the price we pay for getting a penalty and scored on it last month.
Yeah, it is. The football gods. Yeah, I said this on, I was on TalkSport on Thursday night and I did the preview on Andy Goldstein's show and I said, you know, about how the football gods just seem to, like, despise us at Anfield. And I think that, yeah, they were quite kind to us the other week with that penalty, and then they've obviously just, you know, decided that they want to punish us again. So how did you go into the game, this one, mate? I'm intrigued. I've been, you know, asking a few other Evertonians that I've spoken to since, you know, how they felt before the game, and because it's always one of them, isn't it, when you go to Anfield, it just feels like there's an air of inevitability about it. Were you confident, Grouch?
Yeah, because I've gone through that era of inevitability and I'm now sort of thinking, we might get one here. We might get one here. And we didn't win, but we did have a go. And I thought we had a much better go than we did in the league game last month. Now, I know the result was entirely different. I know we got beat, but I actually thought we were unlucky not to get the replay.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think obviously the tempo was quite frantic at the start, and I kind of, you know, I think I was saying to myself, you know, I was sitting there watching it, and I was like, oh, you know, I really want us to try and just calm this down a little bit, because it was, you know, as you'd imagine a derby would be. But I thought that the way Everton started at times, you know, without, I don't remember us threatening them too much, but, you know, it was kind of like, you could tell that there was a stark difference between the way we started this game and the way we started the league game, for sure.
There was a bit of passion shown, and we had a go. And that's a good start. That bodes well. All right, the result didn't, but it was... I'm not happy with the 2-1 defeat. I'm never happy losing any game, let alone to Liverpool. But we just looked like we were having a bit more of a go than we had of late. So for me, that's at least a good sign. So at least a positive to take away from it.
Yeah, you've got to always try and find positives. Yeah. Do you agree with this statement? I enjoyed this derby more than I've enjoyed a derby for a long time.
Yeah, because I didn't feel like we were down and out from the beginning. The players didn't look like they'd absolutely bricked it.
Yeah.
The players didn't look like they were caught like rabbits in headlights because they were on the telly at Anfield. They actually, I don't know whether, not necessarily growing into it, but they didn't go into the derby thinking, oh, well, we've lost anyway. Yeah, let's just turn up and get it over with. They just look like they might, hang on, we might have a go here.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I took that from it.
It's a strange thing for me to say, I know. And I mean, up until the goal, but I kind of, there was more, do you know the last time I felt like this, which ended in disappointment again, but was the 3-3 at our place under Martinez?
Yes.
You know, where it was like, we were having a go and you were like, right, we're going out, yeah. And we're going, you know, and you thought that we would win. Yeah. And I honestly, after Sigurdsson scored, I think we had kind of like a half-baked attack after that, pretty soon after the goal. And they were a bit kind of on the ropes and you were thinking, right, you know, could we just nick one off a set piece or something here? Is there something we can do? And I, you know, that confidence grew into the game a little bit as a spectator, I suppose. What did you make of the penalty? Their penalty, obviously.
Well, if we're going to say the one that we got last month was soft, I think this one was almost non-existent.
Mm.
It was extremely soft. Whether it's, I don't know, someone's felt the need to redress the balance, who knows, but... yeah, it was. I would say dubious, but these things happen, don't they?
Do you reckon?
What can you do?
Well, yeah, you can't do anything, can you? But do you reckon, like, just a bit? What's Holgate to do? Because I can't. I think it was whoever was obviously Danny Murphy was doing the point. He's just a terrible pundit, anyway. Regardless of any,
how he sits on FA panels, I do not know.
I know. The bloke's really is a very. He's really unlikable as well. He's very like flippant and dismissive, and you know. And anyway, but I mean, somewhat one of the lads who's doing the panel for BBC, whether it was him or Shearer. Or Reedy, it might have even been Reedy, to be fair, said, you know, if you put your hands on the opposition player in the box, you kind of, you know, you're asking for the referee then to potentially make a decision, right? You're giving him an opportunity to make the decision. Now, I get that, but it's like, what are you supposed to do? You can't put your hands
just,
on
just let them run past and say, bye-bye, good goal. Yeah, it's football. It's a contact sport. I think people forget that. I mean, whether they're trying to turn it into a non-contact sport is anyone's guess, but it's a contact sport. It's a derby. The referee must understand that. People are going to go in harder. People are going to, you know, throw tackles in. You know, if you can't do that in a derby, where's the point?
Exactly. That's what you want, isn't it? That's what you want. But you it know, wasn't if even
if
like
you can't
that.
If you can't tackle someone and throw them into the crowd, what's the point? What's the point? What's
I
the
know.
Point
yeah.
of the derby?
What's happened to the game? It's gone to the dogs. No. But I mean, we'll get onto that in a second. But I just another question I'm going to just throw out there to you as well is like, if Mason Holgate does that in another position in the pitch, the exact same thing, and Lallana throws himself to the ground in the way that he did. Is it a free
kick?
Is
it even a foul?
I don't
think
so.
Is it even a foul?
It's not, is it?
You know, is it play on, get up? Is it, I mean, you know, it's a soft free kick, let alone a soft penalty.
Honestly, if let's just say Lallana does that somewhere else on the field, right? It's probably more relevant if you say, you know, maybe he's trying to get past one of our centre midfielders. Yeah. So, you know, because obviously if Holgate did that to him, in the centre circle, you'd assume that, you know, maybe he might be the last man or something. Yeah. But let's just use another Everton player. So, you know, Schneiderlin does the same thing. Yeah. And he throws himself to the ground in that way. I could see in that position that the ref would probably tell him to get back up and then go back to him and book him for that. Because he definitely did, like, make loads of it.
Oh, of course. I mean, how many times can you do a somersault before you land and stop? You know, I mean, Nyasko, you know, banned, didn't he, for that? Well, similar. You know, where's the difference?
I suppose
what they've said is it's willful deceit.
Right.
But, you know, I think to dive in that manner is deceit. You know. But this is why they've got Danny Murphy to sit on such panels.
Eggs, who's a regular listener and a Grand Old Team forum member, one of the many guys over on Grand Old Team, he said about the Firmino Holgate situation is what Holgate did in pushing Firmino into the crowd was wrong. However, we all did laugh. What Firmino is allegedly to have done is disgraceful. Leave it for the investigation to determine if the allegation can be sustained. I'd be surprised if whether is said in the vicinity of referee's microphone isn't recorded. So if whatever is said, you know, close to the referee, if that isn't recorded. I don't know about that. I don't know about the referee recording things, but maybe there is that. I've never heard of that. But I think Eggs is probably right there to say, you know, as supporters now, that it's all kind of guesswork. You know what I mean? There's no concrete evidence.
That's the thing. You're going to have to wait for the investigation, I suppose, before anybody makes their mind up. But, you know, the things that he's... Obviously, you know, pushing someone into the crowd is wrong, but it's a derby. You know, I like the clip as well where Tom Davies just carries on his little warm-up pass to say, oh, someone's gone into the crowd there, yeah. And just carries on. I love that.
Well, I looked at him, he had his hand over his mouth. It looked like he was trying not to laugh.
I know, yeah. Yeah, but he ended up in the crowd. But, what happens afterwards? It's wrong to push someone into the crowd, but... That doesn't mean that then the offended player doesn't then mean it's okay for him to go and shout a tirade of abuse if that's what happened. I don't speak Portuguese myself. I know some people are saying that he said something along the lines of, is it puta? Is it people have been
something
saying
like
which
that,
is
yeah.
some sort of mild insult? I don't know. But then his head is then obscured by another player passing. Which is what appears to have outraged Mason Holgate. So, obviously, no one knows except Mason Holgate, Firmino, and possibly the referee, what was actually said. If it is, has been something racist, has been alleged, because there's a clip of Mason Holgate mouthing something, which is reasonably clear, let's be honest. I'm sure that's out there on Twitter somewhere. I'm not repeating it. If that is what's said, you know, just because someone's pushed you over does not give you the right to say that to someone, if indeed that has been what's said. But I do think we have to let the investigation run its course.
Yeah, it's one of
and
them.
I also
you know.
Think, well, I also think that people have been saying, why didn't Sam Allardyce come out and say, there's been an incident of racism and alleged this? I think he's done the right thing. Let the investigation happen. Give the FA all the information and comment afterwards. I think they've done absolutely the spot on right thing.
Yeah, I've not seen that, but this is a very strange position to take on what Allardyce should have done. So let's imagine that Allardyce comes out and makes an accusation that later turns out to not be true. He sets himself up to to look like an idiot. So that's really really silly.
That's what
I
thought. I think they've done absolutely right down the middle on this issue, so we'll just have to wait and see the outcome, as we say.
I think you're right, mate. I think you're right. But, it's one of them, isn't it? Look, these things happen in the derby. I mean,
of course.
You know, we've seen enough of them down the year to know, you know, what goes on. And what I'm alluding to there is
the push.
Obviously,
you weren't talking about the comments.
Of course. The alleged comments, you know, they're not something that thankfully... is a frequent occurrence.
They've got no place in society, let alone football.
Exactly.
Those sorts of things.
No, I was just going to say, you know, if I think about some of the derbies, you know, especially the sectarian element to the one north of the border, you know,
that's only one step, if not as bad as your racism anyway, I think, you know, and I'm glad that element is not crept in,
of course.
One thing that I would like to mention while we're on that is there's been a lot of accusations flying around about Everton singing Hillsborough songs, which is never, ever true in a million years. I feel quite strongly about that one. You know, I mean, for the past nearly 30 years, how many years is it now? It's 29 years.
1989, wasn't it? So, same age as me, 29 years.
You know, we've stood side by side, shoulder to shoulder with them. And I dare say the vast majority of Liverpool fans would not say anything, you know, accusatory about that. You know, 99.9% of Everton fans would never, ever do that. So I find it extremely hard to believe that all these iPads and all these camera phones at the game and the saying thing, or certain people saying things like, oh, I heard some people talking about Hillsborough, with not a shred of evidence. Liverpool fans and Everton fans must know that no Evertonian would ever, ever mock Hillsborough in any way. You know, some things are just beyond you know, chanting about, and that's one of the things, you know. I think people have perhaps mistaken the is it murderers and always the victims chants for being about Hillsborough, possibly, which, while I'm not saying I agree with those things, whether, you know, people want to sing that or not, I'm not getting into that one, but neither of those have ever been about Hillsborough. Whether you should sing about them anyway is another matter. I suppose they're up there with the Munich things at the Liverpool. Fans themselves have been known to sing to Man U, and Man U singing, you know, similar things back. I think it would just be better if grown adults stopped singing about deaths and tragedies in general. That might be better. But the bottom line is, if it is those songs that have been mistaken for something about what they're not, they've never, ever been about Hillsborough, whether they're right or wrong. But it's never been about that. And if any Evertonian did ever say anything at the match about Hillsborough in any negative light at all, they would have been dealt with so quickly by the surrounding Evertonians, they wouldn't have got to the second sentence. You know, there's no way that that would have been allowed to have gone on. Whether it's been said by... the things I've read have been on Twitter. I don't know if they've been on anything else, really. But the things I've read, I wonder if they've been brought up by people who weren't around then, perhaps, and don't... Maybe they know of the history, but don't know the ins and outs and the political things and with the Sun and that all that went with it, really. Because, yes, it was Hillsborough, but then that also, you know, infers things like Margaret Thatcher, Conservative Party cover-ups, the police, the Sun, Kelvin McKenzie. That I wonder, is it someone who isn't aware of all that and has just put two and two together and got five or what? But I'm sure everyone listening, they'll probably want me to shut up about it now, would agree with me that there is no way that Evertonians would ever sing anything about Hillsborough.
No, I agree, mate. I was going to, yeah. I just let you have the floor about that. I know you're quite passionate about it. And I think especially, you know, being a proud Scouser like you are, and, you know, as you from the city, you know all about this, and yeah. You probably understand the, you know, the makeup of Evertonians better than me. So, but from my perspective, I've never heard any reference towards Hillsborough. It doesn't make any sense, first and foremost, because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of Evertonians lost family on that day.
And, exactly.
It's always been an accepted thing that been a no-go area anyway. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just always been the way it is. I mean, look, you know, as a younger lad, I certainly didn't, you know the history of Hillsborough, but I knew the basis of what went on. The point I'm making here, so, is I'm not even, I think you'd have to be incredibly ignorant to be a match going Evertonian and going to the Derby and singing them songs and not being aware. Do you see what I find that really hard to believe? Even if you're a 17-year-old lad. You know, I find that really hard to believe that you would go.
Well, likewise.
Yeah. However, the only thing I would say, and you touched on it, and you made a really good point, Grouch, and I agree with you. You know, I wish that people would stop singing these songs, just full stop, because you know, we are talking about the football, and then people dying, and it's like, what? You know, one thing's is just a game, a very emotional game, and we all have an emotional attachment to it. But the other things, like people, humans dying and people mourning and people's fathers and sons, and it's just horrific. Like, so it'd be good if we just shelve it all, but these things happen, and you know you can't control what people say, unfortunately. That's the way it is. But the only thing is, just on this, and then we'll move back onto the Togger. I suppose with the chant, some of the chanting that goes on, you know, murderers or whatever that you do, I have heard that, although it's obviously not about Hillsborough. I think where some of the things that I've seen the Reds say, the ones who were disappointed with this, they've said, well, you know, that's sung to us by other clubs, and they're making reference to that. So, you know, even though the Evertonians who sing it might not be singing about that, are they not aware of, you know, how that's kind of construed within our fan base? And you know, I think probably I can see that to a certain extent, although I'm with you completely, and I don't think there is an Evertonian out there that intentionally, even if they do sing that, they're not singing about Hillsborough. I'm not making excuses for any of them. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I mean, if that's the way it's construed by other clubs, firstly, that's not really our fault. No. if that's what other clubs are singing about Hillsborough, okay, that's very wrong that they've taken that to change the meaning, well, the original meaning of that and sing it. But it just backs up the point, I think, that if we just stop singing about deaths, I think that's probably the best thing.
Yeah, you know, no,
if you stop singing about that, and that problem has gone away.
Yeah, that goes for fans, supporters singing about air disasters, singing about players. I remember being down at the FA Cup final when we played Chelsea, and after the match being on the tube, and you know, I said to a lad, "Oh mate, that's a bit too far," and got told to F off. But it was one of our lot singing about Frank Lampard's dead mum. And I remember, you know, at the time, being like, come on, mate, like, seriously. And so the point of the matter is, I think the underlying thing to all of this is, can we just not stray into these areas, please? Because I know, you know, it can be frustrating. And I think there's been an element, you know, within, I saw some Reds talking on Twitter and saying, oh, kind of, what's happened to Evertonians? Why did some of them appear to have become so kind of angry and bitter, and I think, you know, probably a lot of that's led from the frustrations of frequently losing to Liverpool down the years.
Yeah.
And also, let's not forget, and you know, again, wholeheartedly caveat this by saying again that we all agree that singing those songs are dreadful, but you know, the Reds frequently come to Goodison and mock everything about us, which is sound because it's a rivalry, but eventually sometimes when tensions rise, things do spill over.
Something's gonna give. There's only so much someone can take if you shit ill and abuse all the time, you know, that's only natural.
Especially, you know, I think sometimes, you know, when you think about what Everton, it must hurt, man. I mean, it's bad for me. I don't want to think that any Evertonians would ever go down this route. But I think for you being a Scouseboy as well, and probably being able to recall Hillsborough in the aftermath of Hillsborough, certainly, you know, the thought of like any Evertonians singing about that. So you're going to react to any accusation as well, probably quite fiercely.
And I'm never one to say, oh, it's out of towners from either club, because obviously you live in Stoke and have just as much understanding and right to support Everton as I have. And it's the same for, you know, I mean, so, let's be honest, some of the Norwegian Blues are more passionate than, the Norwegian Reds are more passionate than some of the ones that live here. So with the accusations, I think from being a local, it's hang on, no, there ain't no way that was ever going to happen. Yeah. You know,
mate, that's the point. That's the point I'm making. But do you know what, mate? I'm saying this as an Evertonian not from Liverpool. You know, I do appreciate that the topic surrounding Hillsborough is probably more sensitive for Scouse Reds and Blues. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there were some Reds there on the day. There's the famous fact, I can't remember what they're called, their family from Yorkshire, who lost a son or a daughter there. Obviously, he was a Red, and you know, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
But so you know, it did affect people from outside of the city. Is the point I'm trying to make there?
Yeah.
But
I
completely hold my hands up. You know, I understand it as much as anybody can. But I think for you guys, both on both sides of the divide, you know, it is more sensitive for you, and it will be, of course.
Well, another reason that we won't really tolerate anything like that either is it for a flip of the coin, it could so easily have been us, and it would have been. We were in the other semi-final that day.
I know.
Villa Park, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We were at the other semi-final. You know, in any other any other set of circumstances could have seen us there.
Yeah.
Which, you know, horrific as it is, regardless of, you know, who supports who, it was just terrific. So, you know, they're but for the grace of God, I suppose.
Look, anyway, let's move on for it. Look, Grouch, you've said you've put everything fantastically there, mate, and I think you've done a really good job of probably echoing the thoughts of most Evertonians on the reaction to that.
I hope so.
I think we're both in agreement that it would just be better if everybody stopped singing these songs, full stop. Whatever they're referencing, whatever that may be, just stop it, lads. Just seriously, just stop it. And let's just stick to the football, shall we? Talking of the football, though, the away end when Sigurdsson scored that goal was absolutely terrific. And and it really made me. I mean, you tagged me in when some lad had a spare, and I saw it a bit too late. I'd been in Birmingham doing some filming in the day, and I'd like got back to mine, and I was looking at the clock, and I was saying, "Oh, it's touch and go if I leave now." Yeah. And then I thought, I've probably got to pick it up from the Wirral, I think they said. And I was like, oh, it's probably going to be too late.
But, you might have been pushing it there then, yeah.
Definitely. But the point I'm making is the away end looks fantastic. And at that very moment when that goal went in and I watched the scenes, I was like, oh, I'm devastated I'm not in that away end.
Yeah. Oh, limbs. Limbs, they say.
He took it well, though, didn't he, Siggo?
Oh, yeah. It's, that would have been a good one to, I had to watch it at home here on the telly, but wouldn't that have been good to be in that stand then?
Yeah, he took it well though, cracker. Didn't he? He took it fantastically well, yeah.
And Jagielka as well, running up. I mean, I used to say he was fast, but I've seen it with my own eyes now. He ran the length of the field. I think he overtook Van Dijk, didn't he? You know, £75 million worth of defender there, young man. And Phil Jagielka legs it past him.
What did you make to Jagielka's performance? Because I thought it was fantastic.
I thought he was good. I thought Holgate was good. And I, to be honest, they're the two centre-backs I'd be starting with at the moment.
Right. I mean, the way that Martin Keown made reference to the way that Jagielka read the game, and I think he was spot on, to be fair. And I don't think there's ever been a question mark there with Jags. I don't think. I think it's just the fact that he's starting to age a little bit now and maybe slowing down a little bit and getting caught there. But I don't think there's any question marks regarding his intellect as a footballer.
No, I think you'll find that with a lot of centre-backs in general in football. As they get older and they lose the pace, although judging by that goal, I don't think he's lost any of it. As they get older, to compensate for that, and you'll have seen this with Gareth Barry, they'll get into the right position, so which means they won't have as much running to do. You know, we saw it with David Weir and Richard Gough. They carried on as long as they could, despite the fact that they couldn't run for the bus. They were still in the right position because they could read the game well, using experience, and that's probably what's happening with him.
Yeah.
Although he does seem to be able to give Usain Bolt a run for his money there, judging by Friday.
Yeah, it was. I was like, "What's he doing there? Oh, what a little ball that was!"
Well, I was looking at going, "Who's that?
Yannick was very good. I thought that for a lad who's been out for some time, I had no issues with him staying on as well for as long as he did. Well, he played the full game, didn't he? I had no issues with that. And I'll tell you why, Groucho. Although he started to look tired, he's just got this ability to just do things and create things out of nothing. And when Luckman came on the other side as well, you know, we look dangerous. The two players that probably do the same.
Firstly, Luckman, I'd play him. At some point in every game, he should be on. He offers pace. He's good. He's not fighting to attack. And also, when he runs, he's not running down blind alleys. Every run he makes appears to have some sort of function. Okay, it might not always come off, but he's always... It's almost like efficient, if you know what I mean. He doesn't just like run for the sake of it and then look around and hope someone's there. It's always with a view to passing to someone or having a shot or whatever. So I will play him, even if he doesn't start, or even if he's not intending to stay on for the 90. Great if he is. But if not, I would at least have him in the match day squad. And I would bring him on. As we said a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? We paid £11 million for him as a youth player. So, you know, maybe we're just starting to see him mature a bit. Moving on to Bolasie. Yeah, he's been out for a while. It's going to take him a while to get his match fitness back. And historically, he's always had a good game against Liverpool, hasn't he? That was his first game against Liverpool for us, I think.
Yeah.
I thought, considering he's been out for a while, he must be... You know, it was his knee, wasn't it?
Ligaments, wasn't it? I think
that's it. Yeah, I mean, he must be. I mean, that injury used to see players off, didn't it? So he must be a bit apprehensive still. I thought he was good. I just thought that one thing at the end where he could have passed it. I can't remember who he passed, but he ended up just putting it over the bar. Maybe could have done better there, but I suppose I'm nitpicking. Or am I? Because if we'd have passed it, maybe we'd have gone to draw in, you know, the dying embers of the game. But I think I'm nitpicking a bit there. I think considering he's been out for so long with such a bad injury, I think he's done all right.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to have lost that much pace, I don't think.
No, he doesn't seem to. One other thing about Bolasie as well is I kind of sense with Bolasie that he genuinely doesn't care who he's playing. which is very good for us and something we've needed at Anfield. He didn't strike me as he was overly kind of overwhelmed by Anfield. No. You know, he genuinely doesn't care. And as you say, he's got, I think, obviously a historic kind of... he remembers the times he's played there for Palace and been quite effective, and I think that'll probably stand him in good stead going forward as well. So
I wonder, is that the attitude that's rubbed off on the rest of the squad? Maybe that's why they went as rabbit in headlights.
It's the only player it seemed to look like it really got to was Wayne Rooney, which is weird because he's a lad who's played massive games in his career. But I sense that they genuinely didn't care as much about the fact that we were playing Liverpool. And you know, look, I've been told firsthand by Carragher, you know, the fact that he felt that when he played us a few times down the years, especially towards the back end of Moyes' reign, that you know, the likes of Osman and Hibbert and stuff would show them a bit too much respect, which is that's even more weird because they're Evertonians. I think that's probably why I enjoyed it a little bit more, because I thought we had a bit of a go and looked like we weren't intimidated by them, which is good. Because here's the thing, I sent out a tweet and Gorgeous George EFC on the forum said, even Espanyol have beaten their local rivals Barcelona away from home since we last beat the Reds at Anfield. Now, Liverpool are a big club, we all accept that. But they're not a super club anymore. They haven't won the league for almost as long as we haven't. They are a good, in fact, very good individual players down the years, and some good sides. You know, I'm thinking of the one that won the Champions League with Alonso and Gerrard and Torres and Carragher, whatever. They're okay. Like, they're a good side. But then there's been times down the years when we've had better sides than them as a collective. They've had better individuals. Mm-hmm. We've had better collective sides. I'm thinking of probably the one, you know, towards the back end of Moyes' reign, right? Your Kales, Ortetas, etc. Now... Yeah. Our record against them is absolutely dreadful, right? And I don't understand why, when you really think about it in a sober way, because they're not that good. Do you know what I mean? It'd be fine if they were genuinely as good as Barcelona and we were like Port Vale level. Do you know what I mean? Like one of them, so you remember how City and United were for years, where Manchester City were just a million miles away from that Man United team in the 90s, and they got beat by them every time, and that was fine, really, because you could just go, well, it's the golf in class, the golf in resources. We haven't been able to use that excuse, so... No. I don't know what point I'm making here. I'm just going on a rant, and I need you to stop me.
Well, perhaps it's the old-fashioned bogey team. And our bogey team just happens to be the one side. We'd not like our bogey team to be out of all the sides in the entire world.
Aren't they? You know, they're a bogey team.
Yeah. I mean, I think for a while until Wayne Rooney popped up in 2003, was it? I think we hadn't beat Lee. Although we had won at Elland Road against Spurs in the FA Cup in 95.
Yeah.
We hadn't beat Leeds away for 50 years.
Oh.
Or 51 years.
And Leeds, and, Leeds have been in a different division, though, had they, a few times? Or not?
Not at that point.
I know they've been, obviously...
This was...
Really?
They've been down since, but when Wayne Rooney popped up, he was still very much vying for the Champions League, if you remember.
I'm thinking, like, I don't know, man. I swear, I know they were very good in the 70s, but weren't they really bad? I don't know. Anyway, who knows?
I think they may have had a little bit of a lull in the 80s, but then they was very much back by the 90s because they won the league in 91.
Yeah, the last year before the Premier League.
The last Football League, yeah. So for the most part of that, they were actually in the top flight with us.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, like, so I don't think I could go 50 years. I think I don't know what we'd do, gouge my eyes out or something. Well, but,
you know, like you hear people say, that law of averages says we'll win there eventually.
I'm going to stop saying that because every time I say that, we don't win.
But law of averages, I was thinking about this. Like, law of averages works if you're playing, like, roulette. It doesn't work if you're playing football because there's that many different things that can happen. And
Many variables for
them. Exactly. It works if you're playing heads and tails. The law of averages says you're going to get heads after you've had tails six or seven times. But that doesn't work for football. And I had a Huddersfield fan. I sent that tweet out. And I had a Huddersfield fan, for some reason, tweet me. I think he's a Huddersfield fan anyway. I think the player in his avatar was a Huddersfield player. And he said something about, like, oh, wait, well, my old man had to wait 50 years for Huddersfield to beat Leeds or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, God. It can happen. This could just be... Because... you know, if you'd have said to us after that, probably, I mean, I was only a young lad, but you're a bit older than me, obviously. If you'd have said to you after, like, the Kev Campbell derby, oh, we won't win here now for at least another 20 years, you'd have probably thought that is really kind of, that won't happen.
No way. I'd have said, absolutely no way on this earth. Even if you a bad side, form goes out the window for the derby, or at least it used to.
Yeah.
You know, common sense, logic, and all laws of probability and averages go out the window when Everton play at Anfield. So, yeah, I would said no way if you'd said that to me at the time.
Do you think we're honestly, seriously now? Do you think we're cursed?
I think something is with regards to Anfield. I don't know if it was in the deeds when we left the grounds or whatever, you know, whether we, I don't know, knew that there was an Indian burial ground site underneath it or whatever, but there's definitely something going on there.
There is. And I am as rational as anybody, but some things you can't explain, and you can't explain this now. Like, I genuinely think
John Houlding sold his soul to the devil or something, you know, and that's why we just don't win there. End of now, yeah.
I think this will make, like, do you want to write a book on it? Like, when Everton finally do beat them, should we do a book on this period and, like, interview people and just, like, just the utter despair? I mean, because we're saddest, aren't we, Evertonians? So you probably would sell it. Like, maybe we'll get, obviously, Jim's an author. Maybe we'll speak to him. We'll do, like, this book on, like, all the, because I remember I spoke to, who was it? It was one of the journalists I spoke to when I first started doing this. And he was talking about, he went to the, Richard, I think it's Richard Buxton. Anyway, he went to, like, Moyes' press conference before we played him Grouch in the semi-final. And he said, I couldn't believe it. I sat there and Moyes was talking about how Everton were the underdog. And everybody, all the journalists were looking at each other going, what is he talking about? Yeah. And it was like, at the time, Everton were like 7 points ahead of them in the league. You know, Liverpool had Suarez and Gerrard, but they weren't great. Like, and, you know, they were struggling themselves. And Dalglish was the manager and it was all like going south, really. And then Moyes is sitting there going, no, we're the underdogs and that. And I think you could make a really good, fascinating, like, book on this. So
we could call it Derby Disappointment, the bloody awful years. That's what we could call it.
Derby Doom, the bloody. I love the bloody awful years as like a
away aggro.
And we could just speak to Evertonians. We could get them all dead pissed. So we'll go in the Winslow and we'll get them all to come in one by one and just talk to us, and we'll get Jim to write it. And then mate, I think we're done here. I think we've got a book.
Let us know,
any listeners, if you think that would actually be a book that you'd read or whether or not you'd want to commit suicide after you've read it.
I was going to say, it should come with its own pack of antidepressants, that book, shouldn't it?
True. It's probably not the best thing to do, honestly.
Buy it for the person you don't like at Christmas.
We've suffered far too much. I mean,
I think
honestly,
so.
Like, people who don't support Everton just go, why do you always lose there? Like, what is it? I mean, you think, like, that's what is it?
As if it's never crossed our minds,
I know, yeah, as if we've never really... Oh, we just keep on losing at Anfield. Yeah. Not something we've considered. Mate, Ross Barkley's gone to Chelsea, just quickly before we wrap up.
Yes.
Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. My thoughts are, perhaps, who's he going to replace?
I can't see
who he's going to dislodge. Nonplussed at the minute. I think I resigned him to go, and as soon as Sam Allardyce came through the door and was asked about him and went, don't know. You know, that sharp intake of breath through the teeth, like, you know, a mechanic looking at a burst tyre and all that, you know. But, I don't really hate him. I think if he's not going to hang around, he can get lost. If he doesn't want to play for us, well, sod off. Simple as that. It's not hate as such, but... I've got no feelings towards him. I suppose that's even worse, isn't it? Because you hate someone, you really liked them at one point. I'm not saying I didn't, but I wonder, was he sort of maybe overhyped? Anyway, that's another matter. I wonder, and I don't know if this is true, it may be a load of rubbish, the £15 million fee. I wonder, as is injury being quite bad, that Chelsea have only wanted to take a minor punt on him. And so wasn't he rumoured to have had a medical in the summer? Turns around. I wonder if they said to him, we're not signing you for that much money now. If they'll sell us at cut price in the winter, January, we'll have you for a cut price and take a chance on you and your injury. So I wonder, have we thought he's not going to last much longer. He's gone, yeah, all right, I'll have one last big payday. I might be completely
wrong. Who knows?
Wrong, but
yeah, no,
people are going, oh, he's got to get out the city because of this, or he's got to get out the city because of that. You know, you can read a few things. I mean, even I told you the other day on WhatsApp, didn't I? I'd heard that as well.
Yeah.
But it could be an absolute load of rubbish. On the other hand, it could be, who knows? But I wonder, is he just being sort of injured just a little bit too much for us to, A, want to keep him, and B, for Chelsea to want to spend too much money on him? So this might actually suit all parties. You know, you'd have to tell me in 10 years' time whether we can look back and say that, you know, if he goes on to have a, you know, world-beating career, you know, obviously I'm wrong, but I wonder if something just injury-wise got him. Because don't forget, he's had a double leg break in the past as well,
hasn't
he?
Yeah, it's a very, very good point and not something I considered. The theory that I was going with in my head is that Chelsea had just said to him, look, go back, get yourself fit, we'll come back in for you at Christmas and then we'll, in Jan, and then we'll top your... we'll top your money up with the fee that we don't have to pay. And if that's the case, then...
You see, the thing is, though, what gets me about that is, are Chelsea the club who are likely to go nitpicking about a couple of million?
That's true. Not really. You know, not really, no. Your theory actually probably stands up to the... Your theory is probably the most rational, actually, the more I think about it, Grouch.
Yeah. Only because people are going, you know, Barkley this, you know, break our hearts and all that. This may actually be in the best interest for all parties because he gets a good payday. We get a few bob for someone who may actually be reasonably crocked at a young age.
Yeah.
And Chelsea haven't taken too much of a risk on him while bumping their English contingent up.
And then he ends up at Newcastle in 2020.
The
normal trajectory of, you know, players that kind of do this kind of thing. But look, I'm with you, man. He's one of them. It's been something that we've known is coming anyway for such a long time.
Yes.
It's not a shock there. It is what it is. At the end of the day, like, he does. As I'm getting older now, and I'm trying to make moves and make me and my wife comfortable as possible in my own life and stuff. You know, you do make sometimes you have to think about things a little bit more. And you know, maybe he's been financially incentivized, you know, to an extent that we couldn't do, and he kind of sees it in that way. Now, I know as supporters, as football fans, it's a bit different to normal people's lives, and, you know, we don't want to think of it like that. But, you know, that's just the way the world works, so we'll see how it goes. But it's one of them. I think your theory probably is about right there. So, yeah, we've managed to get through a podcast on an Everton defeat at Anfield again. Hopefully this is... Do you know what, Grouch? Hopefully this is the last podcast that we ever have to do with Everton losing. And we in a Merseyside derby at Anfield.
Yeah.
And that isn't because we both die prematurely. That's because we both live long and prosperous and healthy lives while into
maybe
our 90s.
We'll go on a massive win and run at Anfield.
Imagine. Here's the thing, right? Now, just hear me out before we finish this. You know, they laugh at us for not winning a trophy, but what they haven't got one eye on, and this would be the ultimate football irony, and obviously it would be the thing that I would adore the most in the entire universe. You know, they drill us now, the fact that we've gone, what is it, 20 years without a trophy? Something like that. Right? What about if, because they've gone 10 years, they've gone a decade with one League Cup. But if we were to win a trophy next season and they hadn't, then they'd be like 7 or 8 years without a trophy. And then we'd be able to turn the no trophy thing round on them.
Well, if all we have to do is with the League Cup next year or FA Cup something and they don't win anything for ages and all of a sudden it's completely turned out.
It's turned on its head.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine, right, okay, I'm going to go on further. I'm getting excited. Imagine if Everton did a Leicester and won the league. And then we won the league before them.
Anyway. But no, that would be great. I mean, don't forget, we won the league in 1987. They only won it last in 90. That's only 3 years after us.
I know, that's the point. That's the point that I made yesterday on Twitter. Like, you know, if you look at it, they haven't. You know, I mean, then that's the thing. The whole thing, which is even more frustrating about how this poor record we've got against them, because they're not a superpower club anymore. They like to think they are, and the worst thing about this record is it makes them think that they're better than they are, and they're not.
The European Cup in 2005 did that, I think, and I think that got them a lot more worldwide fans again, because then obviously by this time the internet had come around, and I think they developed a lot more hangers-on because I think a lot of their fans or newfound fans then thought, oh, this is going to be sustained. Little did they know that was going to be it. Could be argued as a fluke in itself in many ways, the entire cup run that they had and the final, but that's another matter. I'm not trying to wind any Reds listening up, I'm just saying that matter-of-factly. One League Cup would do me for that, just say, yeah. Did you last win something?
I know, yeah.
Against lower league opposition while the relative of your captain missed the penalty. Anyway, that's another matter again, isn't it?
Yeah. What have we got if we've not got hope, Groucho?
Exactly. Yeah.
As always, thank you for listening to the Grand Old Team podcast. Remember to subscribe if you can, and once again, as always, thank you for listening to the podcast, and we'll see you again next time. All the best.
It's a grand old team to play for. It's a grand old team to support. And it, you know, your history, it's enough to make your heart go. Whoa.